really when Mrs. D really stuck, because it was very hard for them to say Miss Siobhan or Mrs. Donkervoot, so Mrs. D was good. Well, I am very blessed and honored, very honored to be with you tonight. Melinda and I have been friends for many years, and for many years she has invited me to come and be with y'all, and for many years I have said no because I just didn't feel like I could get away from my church, you know, and just didn't feel like I could come. And so this year she invited me, and I am in the middle of building a new building and remodeling our existing building, and I said yes. And so it had to be a God thing for me to be here. But I'm Yvonne Donkervoot, and I grew up in Arkansas in a very the guy was talking about Arkansas tonight, and we're from Northeast Arkansas. So when it asked me on my information, Kristen wanted to know what my hometown was, and I was like, well, that's really hard, because I went to school in Maynard. We bought our groceries in Pocahontas. My mail came from Warm Springs. So in other words, I live way out in the country, and it'd be about 20 minutes for us to go, or 30 minutes probably, to go get groceries. So my husband says that he went to the poorest state in the Union, and he married the poorest girl. And I think that's pretty close to the truth, because my dad used to say, we have worlds of nothing, and we did. We had lots of nothing. But one thing that we did have a lot of was love. And my parents shared a lot of love with me. I became a Christian when I was 9 years old. I was watching Billy Graham, and we had just gotten electricity. So that was very exciting. We had this little TV about this big, and it rolled. You had to catch the picture as it came around. And so it rolled constantly. And my mom took my two siblings, my brother and sister, outside because she saw that I was just intense on watching Billy Graham. So she took them outside. And during that time, I asked Jesus to be the most important person in my life. And I ran out and told her, Mom, guess what I just did? And she was so excited. She said, I was sitting out here praying for you that you would hear the word and that you would accept Jesus. And I did. Being in a very small town, we had 13 students in my senior class. And I had a teacher that was very instrumental in my life. And I think that's why teachers are so very important to me. She said to me, Yvonne, I think you need to go to college, and I said, I don't think that's possible. My parents don't even have a car that would drive me to college. And she said, I will help you. I had been very active in the 4-H, and so she said, we're going to apply at the 4-H house and help you to get into the 4-H house at the University of Arkansas. And I'm like, oh, that's on the other side of the state. I will never be able to come home. Once I'm dropped off, I'll be there forever. So she said, I will take you. I will drop you off. And then her words to me when she drove away was, I hope you can find a way home at Thanksgiving. So it was a total dependence on the Lord. And every step of the day, every step of the way, every step of the whole entire time was, Lord, I'm depending on you. I don't know how to do this. And so I worked at the home ec department every hour that I wasn't in class and attended the BSU. And it was through the Baptist Student Center that I really felt that God was calling me into full-time Christian service. So I signed up to be a summer missionary. I had never been anywhere past Memphis. And I got accepted to go to Wyoming. And so that was a huge deal for this country girl. And so I went to Wyoming and was a summer missionary. The church there said, we love having you as a summer missionary. If you will come back next year, you can be our summer missionary at this church. And I did that again and again. And everybody said I was crazy because I should have been working my way, you know, making money so I wouldn't have to work so hard during college. But I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And so I met my husband after college.
through one of my students. I was teaching home and family living in Clarksville, Arkansas, if some of you know where that is. And one of my students said, there's this engineer at the power plant that's really wanting to meet some nice teachers, and he would like to be introduced to you. And I said, I'm not really interested in the engineer. I am going to be a missionary. I'm going to either China or Africa, and that's what I know that God's calling me to do. So every day, before, during, and after class, she would come up to me and say, would you just give me your phone number? And I'm like, no, no, no. So finally, by Christmas, I finally gave her my phone number. And so we had a blind date. And 3 months later, we were married. And so I wasn't headed to China or Africa because Don said, I don't think that's what God wants me to do, you know. So as it turned out, he was an engineer with Westinghouse, and we traveled all over the Southeast. We never put our clothes into a drawer for 3 years. And then we would just go to a hotel, stay there, and he'd work on the power plant. And I would go to the church and say, do you need anything? Can I do anything? I'm just staying at the Holiday Inn. And they would say, oh, we need help in preschool. I'd be like, oh, okay. So that's where I started feeling God's call into full-time preschool ministry. And then we had our first daughter, and I am blessed tonight that she is in the back of the room, Carrie. She was our first daughter, born in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then we moved to New Orleans, and we were there for 2 years. Then we moved back to Raleigh for 2 years, and to St. Louis for 2 years, and then finally to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which was the headquarters, for 5 years. And then from there, we came to Dallas, and I was the preschool minister at Fielder Road Baptist Church in Arlington for 23 years, and then moved to Longview, and that's where I am now. I'm at Moberly Baptist Church in Longview, Texas, and it is a blessing for me to be with you tonight. And I was just thinking about the day. I was just thinking how many blessings I've already had today. And I'd like for you to stop and think the blessings that you've had today. One huge blessing was we were traveling down here, and I laid my phone down in the restroom at Cracker Barrel in Lufkin. And we drove 15 minutes away, and I realized I didn't have my phone. So I called the Cracker Barrel from my husband's phone and said, I left my phone in the restroom. Could you check and see if it's still there? And I'd been calling it constantly. And guess what? It was there. Such a huge blessing. So God just answered a prayer for me right there. The other blessing I've had today is I've seen all 7 of my grandchildren, and I've got to hug them today. So both my daughters live in Houston, and so I got to have lunch with one of my daughters, and then Carrie came over this afternoon to pick me up and bring me to the church. So I've had 2 huge blessings today. Would anyone share a blessing you've had today before we start? No one's been blessed? Surely you've been blessed today. Yes.
I had a couple. We had, I had to spend time with my little granddaughter this afternoon.
Right.
Which is a blessing and makes me laugh.
Somebody had to do it, right.
I know, it was fortunate. I we had a thing, we had to get, this is kind of a silly something, but it means a lot to our family. We had to get tickets for something that happens at Baylor.
Right.
And they're really hard to get. Mm-hmm. And one of my children, they're in it.
Oh,
and,
sing? Is it sing?
Yes, it is.
Yay.
It is. And I think it's really hard to come
They're
by.
They're very hard to come by. We had one of our second daughter went to Baylor.
Did she?
Yes.
Well, all of a sudden, this blip came up on my screen that I had tickets, and I was like, I don't know how that happened. I was like, thank you, Lord.
That's a huge blessing. Yes.
So our whole family could go.
Awesome. That's a great blessing. Thank you. Anyone else? Another blessing today? No blessings?
It was a sunny day.
I was going to say that first, because when I left Longview this morning, it was 33 degrees. And then when I got here, it was 65. And I was like, Wow, this is a huge blessing. So thank you for sharing that. Let me just pray and thank God for our blessings. Father God, I thank you for the blessing of each one of these people in this room. Especially I thank you for two men. Lord, what a huge blessing they are to one-year-olds. And Father, I thank you for each one of these leaders. I thank you for protection that you've given us today and bringing us together. I thank you for loving us and helping us to think about one-year-olds tonight. So bless us as we share together and think about the characteristics of one-year-olds. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Okay, let's talk about one-year-olds. I love one-year-olds. They are so awesome. It's the first time that they're not being held and cuddled. They have moved into your department or your class, and they are now becoming people, aren't they? They are moving and shaking. So we're going to talk about something about a one-year-old that begins with an O. And you'd be thinking of a word maybe that would describe a one-year-old that begins with an O. One of the very first jobs I ever had was staying with a family during the summer and taking care of their one-year-old. Her name was Jennifer. Can't remember her last name, but her first name was Jennifer. And I fell in love with one-year-olds through Jennifer. She was the most precious little girl. She would just beginning to say words, and that was just so exciting to me that I could teach her a new word. She was sharing love. She would just appreciate me. She would go down for a nap, and when she would get up, she'd be so excited to see me. It was a rewarding time for me. And so that was one of my very first experiences with one-year-olds. So I love one-year-olds. Have you thought of a word that begins with an O that describes a one-year-old? The only word, go ahead.
They're open.
They're open. Very good. That was one of the words I had written down. They are open to us suggesting things to them, aren't they? Their mind is open. Another old word that I thought about is they're opinionated. They have opinions when they walk in your room, right? They want to either play with this specific toy, or if they don't see their person, then they're like, I've seen them come to the door and actually put one hand on one side of the door and one hand on the other side of the door and go, nope, not going in there, don't see my person. So one-year-olds are very opinionated. So what does that tell us that we need to be? We need to be very consistent in our attendance. One-year-olds need to know that you're going to be there, that you're going to meet their needs. And have you ever noticed that usually one or two will be the people, I mean, they will be your people. They want to see you. And then somebody else, another leader, will have one or two that really want them. And then another leader will have one or two that really want them. So it's amazing how they will gravitate to one person and want to be with that person. And then when you're not there, they're like, mm-mm, no, don't see my person. We're in the middle, as I mentioned before, of remodel. And so we've moved a lot of times in the last 6 months. And I've had to move teachers. And when I move the teachers, I move all the children too. But the children come to the door and they're like, where's my person? And then they find their person and they're good to go. So it's very important for you to be consistent. Another thing for addressing open children and opinionated children is that we need to be flexible in our schedule. We need to have a schedule for sure. Because you know what? Preschoolers thrive on consistency. And every time they come into the room, they want to do the exact same thing over and over again. So it's very important for you to have a schedule. But you need to also realize that you have to have flexibility, because they can bring in other characteristics that cause us to change our schedule really quick. So allow your schedule to be flexible enough that you can spend time with each of the children. Now, one-year-olds, do they just sit down when you say it's group time? Let's come together and have our story. No, that never happens, does it? They might sit down for a minute, and when they do, you can quickly tell them the story. So on the when you have those two or three that are connected to you, you need to be telling them that story. So you may tell the story 10 times during the morning, because you've got different children around you and different children moving around. when you sit on the floor with the children, never put your back to the rest of the room. Now, why would you not sit with your back to the rest of the room? What's going to happen? Yes, you can't see what's going on. You've got to see the whole room. So if you're sitting with a group of one-year-olds, you sit where you can see everything else that's going on, because I'm guaranteeing you there's something else going on in a one-year-old class. So you must sit where you can see the entire room. Also, have lots of books in the room, because one-year-olds love to look at books. Now, how long are they going to look at the book? Less than a minute. We usually say a child's attention span is 1 minute per year of age. So one-year-olds have about a 1 minute attention span. So if you can get them to sit for 1 minute, you are doing really, really well. So have lots of books so that they can pick up and share the books. The main book that you need to have on the floor with you is the Bible. Now, we have other books that are wonderful, but we don't call them the Bible. This is the Bible. And so we want one-year-olds to learn that this is the Bible. And why it's so wonderful, it has pictures in it of some of the stories that we talk about. So we want them always to know this is the Bible. You can have other storybooks. The Beginner's Bible, it's a storybook. This is the Bible. So we want to make sure that we tell them that. When I start telling a story, I always say this first. This is a true story. Now, why do you think I say that to preschoolers? Why would you tell preschoolers this is a true story? Yes, because a storybook is going to be a fun story, maybe a story that they've heard from home or other stories in the room, but this book is a true storybook. The stories in here are really true. So I always start off by saying, I'm going to tell you a true story. This is right here in the Bible. And then I never show the picture until after I've told the story. Because when you show the picture first, you are robbing the child of that opportunity to create in their mind the picture that you're telling when you're telling the story. So if you're talking about, you probably wouldn't talk about that story right off to one-year-olds, Jesus with the woman at the well. But you might talk about the gifts that the wise man brought to baby Jesus. So you would want to tell them that story, and then you would want to show them the picture after you've told them the story. So that helps them to create in their mind the vision of the story of the wise men. They're not sure what wise men are, I'm sure, but as you tell about them and they begin to picture it in their mind, then you can reinforce it by showing the picture in the Bible. So keep the Bible on the floor. I know that people are often concerned about a Bible on the floor with preschoolers because it will get torn. It will get a little bit of tattered look, but that's okay because that just means that we're using it. So I really encourage you to have the Bible and have it open up. We always put a lot of Bible phrases in our Bible. Those are in the front of the Bible. It may be in the back of this Bible. I think it is. The Bible phrases are the ones that kind of paraphrase a scripture reference. And, they're here in the front of the Bible. So you can put those on strips of paper and stick them in the Bible. And they love pulling out a color. And you can say, let's read what's on the blue paper today. And it says, God gives food to us. And that's in the Bible. So you can talk to them about all the Bible phrases. And they're usually in the very front of the Bible or at the very back of the Bible. So we have many. Some of our teachers write them out by hand. Some of our really smart teachers type them and cut them apart and put them in their Bible. But Bible phrases are wonderful to use with one-year-olds. One-year-olds need to hear a lot of singing. Tell me a song that you sing at your church with one-year-olds. y'all are gonna have to wake up. We gotta stay awake, because I'm it's my bedtime too, so let's talk.
Jesus loves me.
Always start off with Jesus loves me, because that will be the consistent song. When they hear that, they know, oh, we're gonna sing some songs together. So that's a very good one. What's another one that you sing?
The Bible.
The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, yes. And Pat the Bible, Pat the Bible. We do that one too, yes. What did you say, I'm sorry?
My God is so big.
My God is so big, yes. Children love to hear their song, their name. One of the good songs that you can say, I am happy, Emily's here today. Do you know that song? They love hearing their name being sung. So always, always use their name when you're talking to them and singing with them. All right, let's go to the N word. The N word that I came up with is noisy. They are very noisy. They need lots of space. They need lots of crawling space, climbing space, space to move around. When you set up your play areas, try to arrange the quiet areas over in one area and the louder areas, or louder activities over in another area. That helps them to not have the room so crazy the whole time. I know as I walk by the one-year-old rooms, I can tell if it's been a good day by looking at the teachers. If the teachers look like they're calm, then I can say, oh, they're doing good today. Things are really good. Tuesday morning, I walked by one of the Mother's Day Out rooms, and the teachers were just like, oh, you could just see it in their face. And I said, is everything okay? And they said, well, they are just climbing on everything today. I mean, they were having a rough day. And I said, and I thought to myself, maybe we need to change out some equipment, you know, because that could be the problem. So on Wednesday, I was working on it in my mind and thinking, okay, I'm going to get there early. I'm going to talk to the teachers. We're going to remove this. We're going to put this in. We're going to change it out. Thursday morning, I went by about 9:30, and I said, y'all, it just looked like a different room. I was like, is everything okay today? Well, everybody's great today. We don't know what it was Tuesday, but today everybody's fine. There was no, you know, catastrophes. Everybody was happy, so everything was good. So just remember, you are a mirror of what's going on in your classroom, and parents recognize that too. So when the child's being picked up, if you look like you've just been run through the war, then they're going to know that things were not great this morning. Things were a little crazy today. And you know, lots of one-year-old rooms look pretty chaotic. When you look at it, there is stuff everywhere, right? Because they're just moving from here to there, here to there. And they are trying to figure out what they can touch next and what they can get into next. The room arrangements are very important. Adult rocking chairs are for comfortable seating and observing, but we need to be on the floor where the one-year-olds are. So it's okay to have maybe one rocking chair in the room, but more than one, you know what happens when there's more than one? We get very comfortable and we just start rocking one or two, one sitting beside us, one next to us, and then no one is really interacting with the children. So look around your room and look at the arrangement and make sure that you are allowing for your interaction with the children, not observing what they're doing. I've seen that at my church a lot lately, and I'm going to have to work on that. That's just something that I've observed, that there's a lot of observing going on and a lot of interaction going on. They like to climb, so if you can have a climbing low apparatus type thing in the room, that's very helpful. If it's safe that they can climb on. It's better to have five of one truck than to have five different trucks. Now, why would that be? That's right. They're not really good at sharing, are they? They cannot share at this age. So our goal is for them to have parallel play, where they can have a truck, the next child can have a truck, and the next child can have a truck. That's why I brought those two dolls, because even though they're very similar, they're not the same color. So guess what? There's gonna be a struggle there, because everybody's gonna want the pink baby, or everyone's gonna want the blue baby. So it's better to have five of the same than five different with one-year-olds, because they cannot share, and it's hard for them. One of the verses that we use with one-year-olds all the time is, be ready to share, be ready to share. And we say that a lot to them, but they just look at you like, no, it's not going to happen. So parallel play is what occurs. Try to have open shelves so that you can have lots of toys on the shelves. The way you know you've got too many is if they have just pulled them all off and nobody's doing anything with the toys. That just tells you there's just too much stuff in here. If you reach a balance where you have toys still on the shelf and every child is sitting or walking around with a toy, that kind of tells you you've got the right amount of toys for your classroom. So look at your room and see if you've got too many or too few. Because too few means that they're struggling over them. And so you want to have enough that you can make sure that everybody's got a toy, but there's a few left on the shelf. They're not just pulling them off and throwing them on the floor. Now, what about cleanup time? Can one-year-olds help clean up? Yes, they can. And that's so important. You can put the toy in their hands and help them to put it on the shelf if you need to. But they need to clean up. I've seen teachers wait till all the children leave, and then they have this disaster to clean up. No, don't do that. Let them help clean everything up. That gives them a sense of ownership. It helps them to feel like you trust them, that you believe they can do that. And call them by name and say, Janie, I need you to put this ball right here. And tell them what to do. And before long, they will learn how to do it. And it's very important that they clean up the room so that when they leave, the teacher is done, the room looks like no one was ever there. It looks great, okay? Another word that I wanted to use, but it's not a very nice word, so I came up with a better word, but you'll know what word I'm thinking of when I say this. Negative of clean, what would that be with an N word? Nasty. I didn't think nasty was a really good word, so I was going to say negative of clean. Do you notice how they just wipe their noses and then they just go right into the next thing and touching everything? So we have to be those people that come behind with sanitizing wipes and clean, because it's so important, especially in the flu season and the colds, to keep your room clean. So does anyone want to share with me how you keep your room sanitized and disinfected? And then I'll share with you how we do ours. Anyone? How do you do yours? Do you have a special spray? Do you have, I'd like to hear what you do.
I think there's a special spray if I remember.
Okay. Kind of new?
On Sundays.
Okay.
So, but great. Yes, it has a name, but I don't know.
Right. Well, we have a pink solution in a bottle. It's called Rejuvenol, is the name of our solution. We mix it up with water, and we can spray that on a toy, and it has to sit on the toy for 10 minutes. And then we can, if it's a toy that has to go in the mouth, we have to rinse it. But if it doesn't go in the mouth, then we just can dry it off and share it with another child. So if you've seen a toy with a one-year-old that's gone in the mouth, take that toy up and put it aside. Don't give that to another child. Be sure that you disinfect toys before you share them with the next child, if they're mouth toys especially. Now, if it's a toy that's just, they're just touching and you've seen this going on, you might take a disinfecting wipe, a Clorox disinfecting wipe, and wipe that down. But I would really encourage you to try to keep your toys in your room sanitized, because it is part of our job to keep our children healthy, and it's very important that we use everything that we can to keep our germs at bay. So a negative of clean would be let's try to think of ways that we can make sure that children stay safe in our area. Now, E is a very easy one. What would you think E might be?
Energy.
Energy, 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 right. They are full of energy. And so because they are full of energy, we have to be on the ball. Working with ones is really hard. They are busy, 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 and they come in the room and they're just looking for something that they can discover and do. So we can't tell you, or they can't tell us what they want, and we can't fix their problems. So what do they do when they come in the room and they're just so keyed up and they just need something so fast? What do they do when they just can't tell you? Cry. That's exactly right. They just cry because they don't know how to tell you. So you have to be a psychologist on top of everything else you have to do, don't you? You have to figure out, why are they crying? Why are they upset? And plan activities that will help them exert some of that energy. Empty boxes are wonderful resources for one-year-olds. A big empty box, it can become almost anything for a one-year-old. They will climb through it, they'll climb in it, they will do all kinds of things with big boxes. A box of dress-up clothes is also a really good resource. They will take the clothes and try to put them on. They will, especially if you have like some men's clothing, the boys will try to put them on. The girls, if you have some little girl outfits, they love dressing up. So it's fun for them to get to pretend and dress up with, and it's a great language prop too, because it's introducing some new words to them. So if you're maybe you're putting on a ballet slipper, you know, that's a word they might not have heard before. It's a ballet slipper. And so you're introducing new words to them as you're dressing up. Scarves are wonderful resources. You can say scarves over your head. You can teach under, over, behind, in front. A lot of concepts you can teach with a scarf. Play phones. It's interesting when you watch one-year-olds with a phone, because you will see them doing things that mom does at home with a phone. You will see them go over to the home living area and they'll just be doing something and they're holding the phone up. And it's just, they love to imitate what they see. And so phones are a wonderful resource. What else have you done in your room that you have noticed that one-year-olds really like? Yes, were you going to say something? What is something that you've seen one-year-olds really like? What toy or what?
Baby
dolls. What?
Baby dolls.
Baby dolls. They love dolls. And how many do you need to have? Like 4 or 5, right? That's right. What else do they like?
Anything sensory, like
oats. Yes. They love something in a canister that they can shake, that they can hear. Yes. Musical instruments. They love musical instruments too. What else?
Music.
Yes. They love to move to the music, don't they? Yes, they do.
Balls.
I wondered who was going to bring up that. You can roll a ball. You can kind of toss a ball to a one-year-old. They love balls. What else? Bubbles, yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Bubbles. We have little bubble machines that just shoot out these bubbles, and they will try to catch them. And so when everything else has failed, we bring out the bubble machine for sure. That's wonderful. What else?
The kitchen.
They love the kitchen because they see mom in that. And really, when you set up your room, put the kitchen as the focal point from the door. The reason they tell us to do that is that's so familiar to them. They see that at home. And so when they walk to the door and they see the kitchen there, it gives them, oh, this is like home. I know what that is. It gives them comfort to come into the room. So we always put the kitchen set as the focal point from the door. What else? Anything else? Pardon me?
Babies,
yes. We mentioned baby dolls. Yes, they love babies. And music is wonderful. Any type of music that's Christian, that's on the level of the child, they love and appreciate. So always, always remember to use music with them. And the Bible, of course, I mentioned that before, but teaching them the word Jesus. I had some teachers back at my other church at Fielder Road in Arlington that they would get so excited when one of the children learned to say the word Jesus. They would push the button for me to come. They wanted me to hear it. Listen, listen, Johnny can say Jesus today. And they would get so excited, and then I would get excited. And I would say, be sure and tell his mom and dad today that he said Jesus, because he's never said it before, and this is the first time. So it was very, very exciting. So as one-year-old teachers, you get to hear some of the very first words that a child says. And sometimes you even, if a child hasn't learned to walk yet, you may get to see the first step that a one-year-old takes. So you are very precious in the life of a parent, because you are investing in the most important person in their lives, their children. And so you are very, very important to parents. And you know what? Parents look to you as authority. Because you're in the room, because you're taking care of their child, they think you know what you're doing. And they look to you for wisdom. They look to you as someone who loves their child. It becomes a real important person in their life. And they will treasure you. I mean, I know my children have grown up with certain people that really invested in them, and they continue to remember them and love them forever. So you are that kind of person. You are investing in the life of a child by serving in one-year-olds. All right. Entice rather than command. That's an E word. Entice. When you're talking to a one-year-old, say, I have an idea. Da 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 da, you know, whatever the idea is. Or, I think it would be fun if we did whatever. So entice rather than say, you must come over here and do this. But say something like, I have a good idea. Let's play with the dolls. I have a good idea. Wouldn't it be fun if we jumped in this box? You know, so think of things that you can entice with your words rather than command them to do. How about we, and then maybe you could say, how about we take a walk around the room and find an activity for you? I know we could read a book. I know we could play in the home living area. So give them ideas of things to do. Because if you don't give them ideas, they're just hopping from one place to the other, just being chaos. And so give them some concrete things to do to help them to know that there's things there for them to do and how to use them. Empathetic. You get a lot of one-year-olds that are starting to hit that area of separation anxiety. And that happens during the one-year-old time. So be empathetic of them when they walk into your room. Respect that concern that they have on their face. When you have a visitor for the first time, just think in your mind that look that a one-year-old has when they are handed over the door to a stranger. They just look at you like, ah, are you going to take care of me? Because they are worried about what you're going to do with them. And then the person standing behind them, the mom, she's got that same look on her face too, doesn't she? Like, I don't know, is this going to be okay or not? So you are so important of helping that guest to feel confident that she can leave her child with you. And then you need to know the child's name and very softly and calmly call the child by name and say, we are so glad, Tommy, you are here today. We're going to have so much fun. Mom, don't worry. We will be fine. And so as mom leaves and he starts screaming, then you need to walk away from the door so he's not looking back to see mom, but get him involved in some activity. Look into the eyes of the child and use a calm, soft tone, and use the name of the child. Use a gentle touch. It shows you love and you care for the child, and the child will recognize that right away. When they feel your loving touch, that you're calling them by name, and that you're getting them involved in a book or an activity, they will respect that and love that. In my other church, I had this teacher named Miss Cleta, and Miss Cleta would never let anybody change diapers. She only wanted to change the diapers all herself. And I would put other teachers in there to be with Miss Cleta, and they would tell me later, she wouldn't let me change diapers. And I'm like, oh, okay. And we don't let men change diapers, by the way. We're so particular and careful for our men. We want to never put our men in a situation they could be accused of anything. So we don't ever ask men to change diapers. But Miss Cleta wouldn't let anybody change diapers. So finally, after a while, I decided I was going to talk to her and just see what her reasoning was. And so I had gotten to know her, and she trusted me, and we became friends. And so I said, Miss Cleta, I've put several people in your room, and they always tell me at the end of the year that you never let them change any diapers. And she said, no, that is my time to tell the story. When I'm doing their diaper changing, I am telling their story. I have a captive audience, and I'm able to tell the entire story. Because by the time I got the diaper changed, I have finished the story. And she said, if I don't change the diaper, then I don't know for sure that that child has heard the story during the morning. So use your routine activities, like changing a diaper, to tell the story. Because it's very hard to get one-year-olds to sit down. Give lots of praise and delight in what ones do. Like if they do say a word, like if they say your name, or they say Jesus' name, be sure and say that name right after them, and then add another word so they can learn to speak other words. So show great delight when they say a word, because they're learning and they're testing you to see if that's a word that's going to bring joy to your face. So use your words and help them to know that. Listen carefully to what the toddlers say, because they have their own language. Have you noticed that? Sometimes they will say something and I'll be like, I don't have a clue what she just said. And the teacher will say, oh, she said da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because she's been with the child and she knows that language. And I'll be like, she did? Okay. Because I'm just at the door, you know. And it's so cool to see how the teachers know their children. They will come in the toy room to pick out their toys, and they'll say, oh, Johnny likes this toy, and Susie likes this one, and Mary likes this one. And she's picking out all these toys, and I'm like, you know your children well enough to know exactly what they play with. And she said, yes, I do. And so that's the kind of teacher I want you to be. I want you to know your children so well. Now, that may include making some home visits. I really love home visits. I know that's old-fashioned, but I'm old, and so I can be old-fashioned. But I really think parents would love for you and a partner, two people, to go together and visit in the homes of your one-year-olds. Do you know what volumes that would say to a family if you came to visit? Especially if you've sent cards. And Valentine's Day is coming. Send every child in your class a Valentine. Please, promise me. Will you promise me you'll do that? Send a Valentine to every child in your class. Raise your hand if you promise. Yay! And just say, we love you. And just get some cheap little Valentines, but send a Valentine to every child. It will minister to the parent more than it ministers to the child. Although the child will carry it around for days, you'll be surprised. They love getting mail. And when the mom comes in and says, you've got mail, they get so excited. So please send Valentines. I had a teacher at my other church in Arlington, Miss Gwen, who called every child every Saturday. She taught in kindergarten. She called every child's family every Saturday. And if she didn't call, they would be like on Sunday, "You didn't call me yesterday. What's the deal?" You know? So I'm not telling you to call every Saturday because I know we're all so busy, but I am telling you, don't miss the blessing of connecting with these families. Don't miss the blessing of getting to love these one-year-olds. They are a masterpiece, and you are there for a purpose. God has placed you there for a purpose, so don't miss that opportunity. Remember also that your conversation needs to be to the child, not to the other teachers. This probably is my biggest pet peeve. When I walk by a room and I see two teachers, that really, I usually just stand there and just watch. Because if it's a conversation they're needing to have, like, "Did you change Susan and did you change Tommy? Okay, I will change Joey." If that's the conversation, I'm good with that. But if I detect that the conversation is about, "Well, I went to the mall yesterday and I found these new shoes and I got these new glasses and it's just been a hard week and you just wouldn't believe all the things I've had to do this week," that's not what I want to hear in a one-year-old room. I want to hear a conversation with you and the one-year-old child. And there is conversation that has to occur between you and the other teacher, but it doesn't need to occur in the classroom. It needs to occur outside the classroom. Does that make sense? Okay, let's move quickly to S. S is an easy one too. I would say selfish. They're very selfish because they're self-centered, and that's just the way they're supposed to be. God made them that way. That's the way they're supposed to be at this age. They're not good at waiting. When they want you now, right? They can't wait until you finish one thing. They need your attention now. That's just how they are. So keep that in mind. It's important that you give every child the attention they need. It's important that you spend time with every child. But when you do see sharing occurring, be sure and praise that. Be sure and say, "I love the way you shared that toy with Tommy. That's awesome." And let them know. And when you share something, if you're holding a book and then you give it to them to look at, you could say, "I'm sharing this book with you." So you're helping them to know what sharing is all about. You need to model that. Sing. We talked about that a little bit. And then separation anxiety. I have a wonderful family that has been visiting our church for 2 years, and the child has never been with us except one Sunday. The child has been brought to the door, and Mom says at the door, "She's going to cry, and she's going to throw a fit, and she's going to be upset. And so what is the child going to do now?" Exactly what the mom has told her that she's going to do. Exactly. And that's what's happened. So Mom stands outside the door for about 2 minutes, and she hears her screaming and crying and throwing a fit. And she goes, "Well, I'll just take her." So for 2 years, we've been dealing with this mom. So I wish I could tell you the end of the story, because we're not to the end yet. We just have had her for one Sunday. And that one Sunday, I'm telling you, you thought we were killing her because she was screaming bloody murder. And Mom was standing maybe between us and the worship center waiting to see if we were going to survive or not. And I would keep going out there and say, "We're doing great. We're doing good. Go ahead. It'll be fine." And the baby is. And I always get a mom if the child never takes a breath or doesn't stop crying. But if they cry and stop crying for a 30 seconds, and then they cry again, I don't get the mom, because I feel like we've had this 30-second window. But if they continue to cry the whole entire time, I don't let a child cry the whole entire time. I get mom. I would never want to come back and pick my child up that was crying the whole entire time. I would not come back to that church. If I came back and my child had been crying the whole entire time, I would be done with that church. I would say, "I'm not leaving my child there." So be careful about that. Let's talk about how you need to let parents know what goes on. Because guess what? One-year-olds do not walk out of the room saying, "We did this, and we did this, and we did this."
So think about what you can do to help parents to know. We display this outside every doorway so that parents know what our story's about, they know what our snack is, and they know the truth that we're trying to accomplish. So that's one thing that we do. But I'd like to hear from you. What do you do to communicate to your parents so that they know what happened during your morning? Very quick. Yes?
Well, one simple way I would do is there's always, well, typically we can get a coloring sheet that has sort of the phrase of the week on it.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm
good. So you send that home. Right. So any kind of craft, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Any type of craft that you do, make sure you put a Bible verse on it, because that may be the only Bible verse that's getting into that home. Very good point. Another thing you can do is greet at the door when the child comes with a Bible phrase and say, this is what we're going to be talking about today. So that lets the parent know, and it's a way for you to communicate to the parents and to the child what we're studying today. When you dismiss at the door, make sure that you tell something positive about the morning to the parent. Even if there's a behavior that needs to be discussed, don't discuss it at the door in front of the parent, because there's going to be another parent standing right behind them, and you're going to embarrass that parent. So if there's behaviors that need to be discussed, we do that privately. So you can always find something good to say. Johnny has great blue eyes. I love his blue eyes. Because maybe Johnny was just a tear the whole morning. And the only thing great I can see about Johnny right now is his beautiful blue eyes. So, but find something wonderful that you can say to that parent. Because lots of times, parents only hear the bad things. They don't hear good things. And if I was a parent and I came to your church and you looked like you had been run over by a Mack truck when I picked up my child, and you said, well, we had a morning, I probably would not want to bring my child back. And so you need to make sure that you let the parents know that you loved having their child there. Even if it was a rough morning, that means that next Sunday is going to be a little bit better because you're investing in that child, okay? One thing that we've done too is we will send a picture to the mom, just to the mom, because we can't share pictures. But if the child has been upset and now is calm, sometimes we'll take a picture and we'll text it to her so she can see, oh, look, he's sitting there and he's playing. This is good. And even though she's in church, she will look at her phone and see that everything's okay. Let's talk just a minute about what we say to the preschool minister. What things do I want to hear from you? I want to know if a child has been bit, because I may get a phone call this afternoon saying my child was bit. And so we always do an ouch report to let the parent know that their child got bit. We always tell the parent that the child was bit, but we don't say who did the biting. And then we don't tell the other parent, the biter's parent, who they bit, because we don't want parents to be mad at each other, you know. So the one that did the biting, we tell that parent. The one that got bit, we do an ouch report for. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's another important thing to communicate with parents. Anything that a one-year-old is going home with a mark or any kind of something on their body that mom is going to say, oh, what is that? Well, oh, we need to do an ouch report. So, and it's always important for parents to know what has happened to their child. So I would always want to know that. If a child is having a temper tantrum every Sunday, as the preschool minister, I would want to know that. So be sure and tell the preschool minister that. If you see a major change in behavior, a major change, then the preschool minister needs to be aware of that. If a child comes and appears to be sick, we need to always let the preschool minister know that. If a child's going to be in the hospital to have surgery, any kind of ministry need, we need to know that. If you have an upset parent, I always want to know that, because I feel like if I don't know that, I can't fix it, you know. They may go home and tell their next door neighbor and the neighbor across the street,
and they can't fix it either. If they will just come to me, I can fix it, you know. So I always want to know if there's an upset parent. And then if you have a conflict with another leader, I always want to know that. I know that I'm really short on time. Do I have 5 minutes? I have 5 minutes. Okay. I wanted to share with you that you are a masterpiece because you are a masterpiece. And the one-year-olds are masterpieces as well. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You are God's workmanship, and he wants to use you to touch the lives of preschoolers and their parents. And so I'd like for you to think right now of a one-year-old in your class that's either high energy, separation anxiety, has anxiety when he comes into the room, cannot transition well. Just a one-year-old in your class, and I'd like for us to stop right now and just pray silently for that child. Could we do that? Because prayer changes things. I so believe in prayer, and I would like for you all to pray for every one of your children. But right now, let's pray for that one that's on your heart right this minute. Father God, we do thank you for the opportunity that you give us to minister to the needs of preschoolers and their parents. Father, I thank you for these leaders. I pray that you would bless them, that you would hear their prayers for the children that they're lifting up tonight. And I pray that you would give them wisdom in meeting those needs, because it is in the blessing that we receive when we see evidence of your hand at work in the lives of one-year-olds. We love you. We praise you for this time together. For I pray in your precious and holy son's name of Jesus. Amen. Kristen, did you want to take over from here?
So, in the first main session, they talked about you guys doing surveys. So you should be getting a text with the survey if you texted that number, or I have some paper copies if you rather.
Did y'all know what she's talking about, the survey? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have to tell y'all a quick one-year-old story on my daughter since she's here. When she was exactly 1 year old, we did a birthday party. And we invited my husband's boss and his boss and lots of really important people to our home. And it was a one-year-old birthday party, and we were so excited. So we gave her a one-year-old size doll. You know, it was exactly her size. She opened the box, she took the doll out, and she just hugged it, and then she turned it down and spanked it. Right in front of all of these people. And we're like, oh! And so everybody there was like, well, we know what goes on in this house. So that's one of my best one-year-old stories. So, did y'all get your surveys done?